Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. We welcome you to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070, WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Also, we're on Facebook. You can go to our podcast page, listen to any previous episode. Good afternoon, sir.
Seem to be getting a lot of traffic on Facebook and also on our podcast now. That's good news.
That's always good news.
By the way... at UCLA, it is a murder-suicide on that campus that happened in the engineering building. They think, to use their exact words, that they now have it, quote, contained. And so that's part of it. I did text Tom Bradley, who is the defensive coordinator at UCLA. And, you know, he said everybody there is fine, but they are still under lockdown. So we want to make sure you got that piece of news. But it appears to be a murder-suicide at UCLA. That was the active shooter. The Penguins will play tonight. We're going to have Pete Jensen, NHL.com, on the show today. Tomorrow, Kimberly Jones from NFL Network is going to join us. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on the business of sports next Wednesday. So, yes, we got a lot going on. Who says it's a slow time? It's only a slow time of the year if you make it a slow time of the year.
Yeah, we may have to wait 100 days for the start of the NFL season where baseball takes center stage, but we're going to make what's best of it.
Exactly. I mean, that's where we are right now. This is, and baseball is down. The Phillies have to find their way out of this thing. And I don't know if they're going to be able to. They just don't score enough runs to do it. But they're now at 500 after last night's 5-1 loss. They've got the Nationals coming up again tonight. It's just a quite. At some point, they're going to start bringing up some other guys. Now, when they decide to do it, I think it's just going to be. I think they have to be on their own clock. There's not one person on the planet that is telling them that they need to rush, because they don't need to rush, and they can do this at a pace where it's just the right time to bring some people up. But their offense is not going to improve until they do. They just don't have the guys on this club that are good enough offensively to do it. And they've got the Nationals tonight at 7:05, and we'll be on the air at 6:30 with that. And this is not a disappointment. I think the bottom line is you're talking about a situation where you feel pretty doggone good about what you got so far. I mean, I would. And I think most Philly fans feel that way, that they feel pretty good about where they are right now. They weren't expected to be great. Okay. So they got Washington tonight, and then they've got Milwaukee coming in. Same story, 7:05, 7:05. And I think I mentioned Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. being on the show Wednesday. I think we're going to move them to Thursday, right? Because I think the Cubs game is on Wednesday, correct?
Let's see. Wednesday, June 8th. Yeah, 1 week from today. Yeah, that's a 105 game with the Cubs at the Phillies.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they have an off day.
Correct. Yep, Thursday the 9th. They're off. Yep.
And then they've got Washington on the road. Then they go to Toronto, but that second game of the four-game set with Toronto, because they got 2-2. That's why we're going to do the U.S. Open thing on the 15th. So we have to make all sorts of adjustments with the baseball schedule, but in the end, it's all worth it. It's all worth it.
Yes, and we've reached out to Fox Sports to see if we can get you connected with Joe Buck while you're out at Oakmont, so we're keeping our fingers crossed there.
Yes, that'd be great. Would like that very much. All right, so get everybody up to date on what's going on. Pete Jensen today, NHL.com, on the Stanley Cup Final. We had Kenny Albert on yesterday. We've had a run of really great guests, but our audience deserves to have a run of really great guests. It's interesting because I spoke to a group on Wednesday night, and it was and let's face it, intellectually, I was the dumbest guy in the room. I mean, these were all high honor students in Bellwood, Tyrone, the whole thing. And one of the first things I said to them was this. I said, don't ever, ever let it enter your mind that you're just from Tyrone and just from Bellwood. I said, people come from everywhere that succeed. Well, that's the attitude we take with the show. We're not just in Sunbury, please. We don't take that tact. Hey, in other words, you're just as important an audience as one in Los Angeles. In fact, you're exponentially more important than the audience in Los Angeles. Why? You're our audience. That's why. Okay? You're our audience. That's why you're exponentially more important. So that's the tack we've tried to take. The Phillies will play tonight against the Nationals. We are now in day 500 of Deflategate. Can you believe that? 500 days on a stupid football. And everybody's more dug in than ever. Marlon Byrd, former Philly, suspended 162 games for PED use. You're saying, wow, 162 games, because it's his second offense. He's already been suspended once for 50 games. D. Gordon, of course, has already been suspended this year. And Danny Heron said, quote, can I get back all the home runs that Bird hit off of me, please? And Justin Verlander was critical of it. And there are a lot of guys that were really critical of Bird. Again, it's his second time through. And the Indians have recalled outfielder Tyler Naquin from Columbus to take his spot. Naquin played against both the Crosscutters and the Spikes with Mahoning Valley. Good-looking young player. But, Marlon Byrd, 162 games, PED use. Coaches versus Cancer golf outing is Friday. There's a reception tomorrow night. And then the actual golf outing itself, I have a 7 o'clock tee time on Friday. Because they said, well, if you put it in the afternoon, then Sean Carey would be doing the show alone. And I said, I can't risk a rating spike, so... Wow, you went really well with just Sean doing the show.
No way Pat said that to you. No way.
And so I get the morning round. And then there's also Special Olympics. I'm doing I have to MC the VIP reception tomorrow evening before I go over to Coaches versus Cancer, and then Saturday at 4, I'm emceeing the closing ceremonies. So busy, busy, busy. Mets and White Sox 1-1 top of the 7th at Citi Field. Brewers lead the Cardinals 2-0 in the bottom of the 6th at Miller Park. Getting underway, bottom of the hour, Twins and Oakland. One more day. LeBron James was booed when he got off the plane in San Francisco today. Shocker. I keep looking back on game one last year and the one game that Kyrie Irving could play, and they couldn't handle him. And I just think that having Love and Irving out there together, I think Golden State might have trouble handling these guys. That's why I'm going to pick Golden State. I'm going to pick Cleveland in 6.
I'll flip the coin the other side. Which player on Cleveland's side will be able to defend Draymond Green? That could be a key too.
Yeah, but you can put LeBron James on anybody. I mean, seriously. I mean, LeBron James is the only player in the league. I know some people say it's Kawhi Leonard would be the other one. But, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, I think, can defend 4 out of 5 spots on the floor. LeBron can defend all 5 spots on the floor. Now, he can only take one at a time. But if they wanted to put LeBron on Draymond Green, it would be an issue. You know, obviously, he has the ability to take Tristan Thompson and draw him out. But Green has had some really good moments in the playoffs. He's had some really bad ones, too. And also keep in mind, he is one flagrant foul away from a suspension. Just file that away. So he can't cross the line. And that's... Yeah, you know, picking against Golden State and picking for anybody Cleveland. I just watched Believeland last night about the long history of sadness of Cleveland sports since their last title in 1964, which, yes, I actually watched that game on TV when the Browns won 27-0 over the Colts. And I just think that they're too hard to match up with. I really do. I just think, you know, Klay Thompson's going to be the guy that's going to have to guard Irving. Now, that part I think is pretty obvious. I'm not going to put Curry on Irving. They could probably put Iguodala on Kevin Love. They probably would prefer to have Green against LeBron. But again, LeBron, I just think the odd thing is they label him the X Factor. He's the one guy you can't account for. All right, how much money has been spent on Deflategate so far in 500 days? How about $22.5 million? What a waste of money. Oh, well. Remember, this is $22.5 million spent in the aftermath of a 45-7 game. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Ken Starr has elected to not become the chancellor over at the law school. He may teach, but he's not. That'll be the extent of his involvement at Baylor University. The Baylor thing is still very much in the early stages of how it's being handled. It's a 13-page report that was put out. But the 13-page report doesn't name names. I mean, Art Briles is losing his job over it. They're just working out the details of it officially. Jim Grobe has officially been brought in to take the reins of the football program. And Ken Starr is out at Baylor as well, and the athletic director Ian McCaw is also out. But if you read the 13-page report, the first thing that you notice when you're done with the 13-page report is that McCaw's name's not in there, Briles' name isn't in there, and Starr's name's not in there. There are no names named in the report. Now, I don't know if this is a preliminary report or if this is the entire report. I don't know. Obviously, what's in there is damning, but like anything, you got to take these things a step at a time. But it does start, as I pointed out last week, it does start with the philosophy of how you want to run the program. And part of the philosophy of running the program at Baylor was that they were willing to take your problems into their house. That was a problem, and that is a problem. I mean, guys, there's a number of guys in that program that transferred in that had other issues along the way. And for some reason, yeah, and this happens other places too. So this is not something I've always been told on when it comes to transfers, and it's always something that I have always kept in mind when talking about transfers, is the first thing you have to ask is, why are they transferring? That's the first thing you have to ask. Why are they transferring? And that's something that that's really important to look at. And and at Baylor, you know why some of those guys transferred. Yeah. It's awfully hard taking, no matter how much you vet, it's awfully hard, for example, taking care of a number of players to begin with, let alone bringing in problems into the program with the idea that thinking you're so good at what you do, don't worry, we can reform the culture. No, that's awfully hard to do. Don't worry, we're so good and so strong, we'll make it fine. Well, you didn't make it fine, you made it worse. Pete Jensen, next half hour, NHL.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Pete Jensen, NHL.com. In just a few moments. First of all, this day in sports history. It was on this date that Lou Gehrig began his epic streak because Wally Pipp didn't feel well. The streak of 2,130 consecutive games that was finally broken by Cal Ripken Jr. Baseball helmets worn for the first time, 1938. Nolan Ryan, fourth career no-hitter. His 100th career victory, 1975. And the Kings beat the Blackhawks to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals, the first time in NHL history that a team won a Game 7 on the road for the third consecutive series. And the Kings did win the Stanley Cup that year. That is this day in sports history. Or as Sean always says, d'histoire, because they speak a little French in Lock Haven.
Oui, oui. That's on the Upper West Side of town.
West Side of town.
And frankly, I'm not surprised. All right. Let's bring in Pete Jensen, NHL.com. I know we've talked a lot about the Penguins. We're going to take some things from the San Jose point of view. It's one of those really get-to-know-you moments. Pete, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Steve. Always fun to talk hockey, and especially with the Penguins. Off to a good start in the Cup Final. It has a nice local footprint for you guys.
No question, but I want to start actually on the other side. This is for a lot of people around here, and it's going to end for America, too, a get-to-know-you tour, because they played San Jose twice but hadn't played them since December. And the country's finding out a little bit more about San Jose, too. In the last, I think, 3 years, Alexander Ovechkin has more goals than anybody, but I don't think people realize Joe Pavelski is actually second on that list. He didn't score in game one, but he has 13 playoff goals. Tell us a little bit about the quality of Joe Pavelski.
Yeah, I mean, by what we've seen in past seasons and also in this postseason, there's a good chance he'll score tonight because this is as good of a team as we've seen this postseason in terms of mid-series adjustments, and so much runs through Pavelski because he's an absolute menace in front of the net, behind the net. He's a versatile player. He's a guy that shoots ridiculous percentages. I mean, when you look at high percentage shooters in the NHL year to year, you usually look at guys bound for regression if they shoot really well. He's a guy that gets better over time. It's not, you know, he shot like 17% in the regular season. Now he's shooting over 20% in the postseason, which is ridiculous for in terms of hockey goal scorers based on shots on goal. So he's a guy that can dictate play in front of the net. I mean, obviously the Penguins are going to be throwing Crosby. They're going to be throwing Malkin, maybe even Bonino at times at him. They're going to try to neutralize him. But with a guy like Joe Thornton, dishing the puck to him, that's a lethal combination, and we've seen it in the past 3 years. You mentioned Pavelski second in goals, Thornton first in regular season assists. That's no coincidence. So that elite duo, I think, people know about Joe Thornton from his time in Boston and have, see what he's done over the years. But Pavelski for sure is, I think, will become a household name in this series, and well-deservedly so.
Brett Burns is another guy. Give us an idea what his ability to move the puck means, especially with the speed he brings to the table on the ice.
Yeah, he's a very uniquely gifted offensive player in terms of doing it from the blue line as a defenseman. He used to be a forward. He can play any end of the ice. He's improved drastically on the defensive end, and yeah, he's a great puck mover, and he shoots the puck at an insane level. I mean, he had more than 350 shots this year. That's only been done a couple of times in NHL history, and it's been Bobby Orr or Ray Bourque doing it. So he's in elite company in that regard in terms of generating scoring chances. He's very good after faceoffs won, whether it's guys like Couture or Thornton or Pavelski. They all are in the face-off circle, and he's out there on that right point usually, and he'll just fire a shot with a really quick release. And Brent Burns is a hybrid type of player. I mentioned he's good on both ends of the ice, so he's a difficult matchup for the Penguins, but game one so far so good. But look out for those adjustments.
And that's where the San Jose has come up big. I believe they are 5-1 in the playoffs right now in terms of how they've come back after a loss. What does that speak to Pete DeBoer as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, and they've won all their game twos in the playoffs. So it's they bounced back from a loss against the Blues in game one, in a game that they deserved to win probably based on their number of chances. But yeah, DeBoer has, it's kind of been hand in hand. He's implemented his commitment to defense system that we saw for years in New Jersey, but he's also given these guys more offensive freedom than they had in their previous system with Todd McClellan, who was fired last year. And I think it's just been a good mix for the Sharks because they're a veteran-laden team with a lot of guys who have been there before, and I think that fresh approach and just respect for their level of talent, because when you look at even that Devils team back then when they had Kovalchuk and Parisi, the talent here is far superior for DeBoer with the Sharks. So he has a lot to work with, and I think the team trusts him that over the long haul, and especially in this series, that he can make the adjustments and put them in a position to be successful and take this series in six or seven games.
When the Penguins got traffic in front of Martin Jones, they were effective. I think, if I recall correctly, Martin Jones was Jonathan Quick's backup with the Kings, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, so this guy, I mean, at least he's been around it before. What kind of goaltender has he become? Because watching him, this is just observation, he didn't give me the Vasilevsky feeling until I watched him in the game the other night. I thought, wow, he's really good on his own.
Yeah, it's funny. That game, he's had some shutouts in the postseason. He had a Game 7 shutout. He had two straight shutouts against the Blues. I thought he played his best game of the playoffs the other night in terms of how the Penguins were dominant. I mean, the Penguins were – the Sharks usually don't get outshot like that. They were averaging somewhere around 25 shots on goal allowed in the Blues series. They were holding that team at bay, and then the Penguins just had a little too much speed for them in that first game. And but Jones rose to the occasion. He looked really good. He's a guy who will hold his position, won't come out and play the puck all too often, but he's a very safe netminder, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And the trade to acquire him, could be seen as a turning point for the franchise, because if you remember, he was actually traded on draft day last year to the Bruins from the Kings, and then a couple of days later, the Bruins kind of went behind the Kings' back and traded him to San Jose. So I highly doubt that the Kings would have ever traded him straight to San Jose, but he got there indirectly and then beat his former team in the playoffs and got them this far. So it's a crazy story.
If there's a word of advice for words of advice for the Penguins, for me, it would be this: don't take penalties.
Yes.
Why is San Jose's power play so good?
They don't just work in front of the net, and they work behind the net. You have Thornton back there. You have Pavelski in front of the net. You have Burns generating shots. Patrick Marleau still has a lot left in the tank. And Logan Couture, quietly, we mentioned all these guys, leads the entire league in playoff points and has the most points on the power play of any player in a single postseason in the past 5 years. So all quietly, Logan Couture is a very well-rounded, defensively responsible forward who can also move the puck well and find those guys at the right moments. So Penguins have a great power play. Sharks might even be a little bit better. So most certainly avoid, stay disciplined and avoid those opportunities, because that power play goal in the second period of game one kind of let the Sharks back into the game a little bit after a bad first.
Obviously, the Penguins, I thought, personal opinion, Crosby, I thought, was off the charts good the other night. I mean, everything.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, just terrific. But it continues to be guys like Bonino, and Brian Rust that step up and get it done. What are you seeing in the, quote, bit players that has allowed them to be effective for the Penguins?
Well, they have, I mean, players, and another guy who really stepped up for the Penguins was Justin Schultz, who's,
yes,
you know, making up for the loss of Trevor Daley, who was logging big minutes for them and contributing on both ends. You know, Schultz was getting criticized for years in Edmonton, but he's actually had a good playoff, had a great game one. But, yeah, those secondary scorers, third-line scorers, I mean, you're not going to call the Kessel line or the Malkin line a third line, but
no,
technically those are their second and third lines. But they've been so good, and they have excellent centermen. Nick Bonino's been as consistent a scorer in a supplementary role as any you know, depth center in the entire postseason. And I think in this specific series, as good as Thornton is at the first slot and Couture, I think that third line center for the Sharks, Chris Tierney, is a little bit overmatched because he's matching up against either Bonino or Malkin, which is a tough assignment. So I think the Penguins have an advantage in that regard, and certainly with guys like Sheary and Russ contributing, especially Bonino keeping it going, they're just they're a dangerous team right now, and the Sharks are going to have to adjust in order to get back into this series.
As always, Pete, appreciate it. I think we'd love to have you back when Gary Bettman makes some sort of announcement, pro or con, on expansion before the entry draft. So we'd love to hear from you then. Thanks so much for everything.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on all year, and enjoy the Stanley Cup final.
Pete Jensen, NHL.com. When they make a decision, or at least announce the decision, on expansion before the entry draft, we're going to bring Pete back on, because they're, all the options are on the table, with Las Vegas being the leader that if they go that direction, they may not do anything. They may table it for a year, but we'll bring him back for that when it does happen. All right, we'll take a break. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Kimberly Jones, NFL Network tomorrow. Next Thursday, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on the business of sports. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's our privilege to have you with us today, as always. We're lucky to have such a great audience. And we've had a lot going on in the show, and we've also been getting a lot of great response to the show. We appreciate that very much. Sean was sharing me with some of the numbers. Now, some were generated by the suit. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure they're all completely accurate.
You're insinuating he's cooked the books.
If it makes him look good. It's always the first question I know I ask. Does it make him look good? But the was it, our Facebook numbers are way up, right? Our streaming numbers are way up, correct?
You're two for two.
You sent the, yeah, I mean, you sent me, so you sent them to me. So you're going to have to help me, like, guide me through this thing, because obviously you're dealing with somebody who's a, who's just really a barbarian when it comes to this stuff. Sorry, it's just the way I am. I'm a barbarian. Although I've been getting better at it. You got to give me at least that. I'm a little bit better at. Now, Franklin and Chambers kid me all the time about, you know, about my, about my social media skills.
Yeah, just our Steve Jones Show website visits between April and May have doubled. We appreciate that a lot.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Very
cool. I like that. I think a lot of that has to do with We've always had a good guest list, but that guest list has kind of kicked into another gear. I think that's safe to say. And I think that has a lot to do with it. And that's been huge to have the way the guest list has kicked into another gear.
Yeah, our visits at stevejonesshow.com doubled within the last month. Also, News Radio 1070, WKOK, website views approaching 250,000 just last month alone.
Wow. It's impressive. Well, that's impressive because we thank you for that very much. We got a lot going on. We are far from finished. As you can tell, we've hit the accelerator in a lot of areas. Look at Kenny Albert yesterday, Kimberly Jones on the show tomorrow. We're bringing Tony Knott back next week. We're going to the U.S. Open the week after. It looks like late August. The door is wide open to us based on the response we got of getting Vern Lundquist on.
Yes, with the news we broke yesterday with Vern stepping down from the football portion of his broadcasting career. Got in contact with CBS in New York and said, yep, we'd see if we can make that happen right before the football season starts. So very excited about that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. He is off the air the same as he is on the air. And that big laugh, sense of humor. I mean, he is truly one of the fun guys I've ever been around.
Just received a very prestigious honor at the Sports Emmy Awards last month.
Well, he should have. He's had a great career.
Absolutely.
Let's face it. Between the yes sir on Nicklaus, the way the ball hung on the cup for Tiger Woods at 16. I remember I was with Joe Paterno and Phil Knight. And Joe looked over at Phil Knight and he said, well, gee, Phil, could you have made the Nike swoosh hang on there any longer for you? It's one of the great lines I ever heard. Phil Knight couldn't stop laughing. Oh, my goodness. But the great calls he's made in football, even on radio, people, I mean, he was the one that made the radio call on the Jackie Smith drop in the Super Bowl 13. You know what? He's got to be the sickest man in the face of the earth, or something like that. He's had a phenomenal career, and be a privilege to have him on, and more importantly, for you, the audience, to hear him. Yeah, you know, you'll get to hear for yourself what I already know. I mean, really, just a terrific guy he is, and what a great sense of humor he has. And he's traveled all over the country. He's lived in Colorado now for a long time. But we're working on getting him on the show. So, I mean, we got a lot going on. And this is special here. Let's say a couple things. Kerry Collins, Steve Wisniewski, and DJ Dozier are all on the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame ballot. They'll announce who will be entering on January 6th. But Kerry Collins, Steve Wisniewski, and DJ Dozier all on the Hall of Fame ballot. Sean wanted me to mention the story in the Washington Post, which is also in People Magazine, about the women's gymnastics program here at Penn State with the Thompsons. I really don't know what to say about it, other than I've read the story. I know I talked briefly to Jeff Thompson last Wednesday, but it's difficult to comment on something when the Thompsons are the only individuals in this I even remotely know in it. And if you're not around it every day, it's a little more difficult. Now, there's also a breaking story out of Minnesota, Sean, isn't there, in wrestling?
Yes, head coach Jay Robinson put on leave because allegedly some of the wrestlers have been selling prescription drugs.
terrific.